So let's begin our Hakdama to Taruvas, which I'm delighted to share the credit. So, as many of you know, I had the privilege of learning Yoredeya when I was in the Gris Kulo with Rav David Miller, Shlita, tremendous tzaddik. So he delivered an introductory chabura on Taruvas, from which much of this is predicated. In addition, I had the privilege when I was in Yerushalayim Rakudish, I had this also when I was in KBY, to hear shiurim from the Gaon of Zalman Nechemia. So I have in my notes one of those little Israeli-sized pieces of paper from a notebook from a shiur that Rav Zalman Nechemia gave on Bittul Berov and Taruvas, which was awesome. The problem is that the notes from that shiur are not the most complete. However, thanks to Hashgacha Pratis and the internet, I was able to find that in a Torah journal in Tafshin Samach Beis, Rav Zalman Nechemia published this. It's basically the same shiur that he gave us at that time. I think it was in Machon Lev. We used to walk across the Machon Lev. He gave this shiur.
Goldberg, right?
Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. Yeah, he gave this in. He wrote this up in a kuntris, and the title is Bidin Bittul Berov V'Halecha Harov. So a lot of the things that I was missing in my notes are found in this shiur, which is terrific. And one last thank you, one last attribution, is that when Rav Schechter came, so he gave also a shiur quasi Hakdama Tilchas Taruvas, so much of that is going to be here today.
When he came to
Grus, the year that we learned Yerodeya. Okay. So let's begin by distinguishing, as I mentioned on the Mar Makomos, these are two important categories, two different categories of roves. One is what we could call Haleich Achar HaRov, following the rove, and the second one is Rov B'Ta'aruvus, the majority when you have a mixture. And those are obviously not the same concept. In the first concept of Haleich Achar HaRov, you have one item, one entity, and you just don't know what is the identity of this item. It can only have one identity. It can only be heter or iser. It's not both. It's just one item. And you're trying to ascertain what is the status of this item. That's in the din of Haleich Achar HaRov. In the din of Bittul Berov, that's not the case at all. In the case of Bittul Berov, you have iser and heter in front of you. It's not an either-or proposition. It's you have both. You know they're both there. You're looking at both. Yet, the halacha requires that to define this entity in its entirety, you're going to follow the principle of rov, despite the fact that you know that there is a miut that has a different identity. So let's just at the outset say we need to split those into two conversations. The first conversation is halecha achar rov. The second conversation is rov b'taruvus. Okay? So that's number one. Within the question of how to understand Haleich Achar HaRov, we have to split it further and distinguish between two concepts. One we will call Ruba De'isa Kamon, and the other one we'll call Ruba De'leisa Kamon. Ruba De'isa Kamon means a rov, a majority of Isa, what is in front of us. It's a numerical rov. You can count up the items that are there. And Ruba De'leisa Kamon, it's a rov, it's a statistical majority that is not in front of us. So here we come to the Gemara that we saw on Chulin, Daf Yud Aleph, when the Gemara asked, how do you know that you follow the Rov? Chulin Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili, Minoha Milsa, to Amar Rabbanan Zil Basar Ruba. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Minolan? What kind of a shaila is that? Of course. Tichsiv. That's not a shaila, it's a bitmia, the Gemara says. Rashi says, Minolan's a bitmia. It's crazy. Of course. Acharab Lahatos, the Pasuk says. The Gemara says, Ruba di Isa Kaman, Kagon Tesha Chanuyos with Sanhedrin, Lo Kami Bailan. The circumstance, the case of Ruba De'isa Kamon, that's not the question. That we know, we learn from Achmi Rabim Lahatos. Ki Kami Bailon, what is the question? That's Kagon Katan Ukatana. A minor, a boy, and a minor girl. Where Rashi says, there's the Machlokas. regarding a katana katana, whether or not they're yigdalu zemze in a case of yibum, or you have to worry, maybe there are an islandess. The Gemara says, no, the majority, the ruba, the leisakaman, of children, of these young adults, don't turn out to become islandess. And, in addition, Zigazund. All right, we'll get to that addition, Reb Meir, in a little bit. Let's leave that for right now. So this is the distinction. So the Gemara is really quite fascinating in the next Amud, because the Gemara searches for a makar for ruba delays to come on, and the Gemara does not give you a pasuk. It gives you, it's like such an interesting Gemara, it gives you models, cases, in which the Gemara says, the assumption of the case, we must assume that ruba delesa kaman is true, otherwise this wouldn't make sense. You can never give any rotzeach an onesh misa, because there's always the potential that the person was a treifa b'makom nekev, and therefore, we know there is a working assumption of ruba delesa kaman. We know we're going to follow the rove. What's that? So that's the question. Why does the Gemara not give us a makar?
Yeah, I'm saying.
So Rashi on Yud Beis Siman Aleph says, "I'll tell you the makar. It's Allah Moshe Misinai, or it's also included in Achari Rabim Lahatos." It's a very interesting distinction that the Gemara knows the makar for the first category for Ruba the Issa Kaman. And it doesn't know, and not only does it not know, it presents this very unusual, this very mysterious model for teaching us Ruba Delesa Kaman.
You just quoted the Rashi at the end of the Gemara, so you can see that?
So that's the Gemara's presentation, that there are these two dinim. Now, is it just a theoretical construct that the Gemara presents? There's a difference between Ruba Delesa Kaman and Ruba Delesa Kaman? No, there's actually a practical difference. So the Ramban.
I think there's three words there that you said that got together.
Is the Gemara just presenting these two roves needing two different makoros, but they conclude in the same way, or no? Is there actually a difference, Lamaisa, between Ruba de'Issa Kaman and Ruba de'Leisa Kaman? And the answer is, of course, there are differences between Ruba de'Issa Kaman and Ruba de'Leisa Kaman. One of the most interesting, important, significant differences is in the Ramban in his commentary on Chulin, where the Ramban earlier on Daf Gimel Amud Beis says that in the discussion about checking out the miyot to ascertain whether or not this particular thing in front of you follows the rover, follows the miyot, he says, well, when we have the principle that you don't need to check, that's only true for Ruba Delesa Kaman. But for Ruba de Issa Kaman, then you have to check. Ramban, Gimel Amud Beis. Ruba de Issa Kaman, you have to check. Ruba de Leisa Kaman, you don't have to check. So why is it that in a case of Ruba de Issa Kaman, the Ramban says you have to check, and Ruba de Leisa Kaman, you don't have to check? So the answer is that this distinction between Issa Kaman and Leisa Kaman is actually, it's fundamental. There's a fundamental difference between a Ruba de'Issa Kaman, a Ruba de'Leisa Kaman, and there's a fundamental difference between the mechanism by which these are working. When you follow the rove, in the case, let me explain a little bit. When you follow the rove in a Ruba de'Issa Kaman, it's different than the way you follow the rove in a Ruba de'Leisa Kaman. And let me give you a mashal that we can use to illustrate the difference. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Kama that when it comes to Eid Zomim, Bava Kama Ayin Beis Lamed Beis, and Eid Zomim is Nifsal Le'edus, and the Gemara says, Itmar Eid Zomim Abai Omar Lema Freya Hu Nifsal, Rava Omar Mikanu Lahaba Hu Nifsal. Abai says that the Eid Zomim is Nifsal retroactively from the time that he gave his Haggadah's Eidus that was false. And Rava says, no, it's only Rava Omar Mikan al-Habo Nifsal Eid Zomim Chidashu Tartreu Treininu Maichazi Ditzayis Lahani Tzayis Lahani. So Rav Shechter has the following yesod based on some achronim. He says that when it comes to eight zomim, you have a little bit of a quandary. Some of the achronim discuss whether or not Abaye actually disagrees with the idea of chiddush or no. He agrees that it's a chiddush. But here's the problem. Eight zomim means you have two guys who come and say, oh, how could you two have testified? Imanu ha'yisem b'makom ploni. So Abaye says, you know, I understand why you are passing them the Mafreya, because they are Rishayim, so you pass them the Mafreya. Rava says, it's a Chiddush that you believe the last guys. Why should you believe the second guys more than the first guys? The first guys say, you're not true, we were there. The second guys say, you're not true, you weren't there. So, Maishna, why should you believe one or the other? So it could be part of the story with Abaye is he's saying, no, it's not so much of a chiddush because they're not exactly testifying about the same thing. The first set of Edim are testifying about the Gufo Shel Maisa. The second set of Edim are testifying about the personality, the whereabouts of the first point. But the Rav Shechter used this to illustrate the following distinction. According to Rava, since this is a chiddush, Ein lecha bo ela mishas to do show ve'elach, meaning the Torah tells you, in the Eid Zomain case, you believe the second guy. Is it because the Torah is telling you that they're actually telling you the truth? That they are 100% correct? Or it's a chiddush. It's a gzeres hakasov that says, well, Rav Shechter likes to say that the word chiddush does not mean a novel idea. It means a dover hasoser as a klal, based on the Tosas at the beginning of Yevamos. But it's breaking the rule. So when it breaks the rule, it's not telling you that this is the emes. It's saying this is what you have to act in this circumstance. It's not being mavarer the truth. It's not saying that we have a crystal ball to know that the second guys, because they came second, actually have greater verity, they have greater truthfulness. It's just the gzeres hakasov says that you have to follow the second guys when they say imanu ayisim. So because of that, it's not a biror, it's just a niug. It's just what you do. Well, when do you do that? Based on when you paskin that they are edim zomim. It's not saying that what they actually said at that time, milah mafreya, becomes viewed as a statement of a falsehood. It's not a lie, milah mafreya. It's just, okay, we got treu trei, and there's a gzeres hakasov that says, you follow these guys, so it's mikano lahaba. Masher enkein, Abaye, he says, this is not stama hachra. This is the Torah telling you, betoras vadai, betoras birur, that the gzeres hakasov tells you that it's nifsal, and therefore it's going to be nifsal milah mafreya, because if what they said is really a lie, so then they become pasul at the time that they lied. It's not a nihug, it's a birur. Everybody got the mashal? Yeah, it's just a mashal, but we're going to come back to our case, but that's the mashal. If you say something is a hachra'a, so then it's just a niug, it's just a way to practice based on the psak, and therefore it's mikano lahaba. If you say something is a birur, so then that birur is true over the course of time, and therefore it's going to apply retroactively. Yes?
But even if it's just a hachra'a, how is it possible to understand the hachra'a as not implying that they are liars?
So there's no question that the implication is that they are liars, but it's not saying with certainty that they are liars. It's only saying we have to treat them from now on as if they have said a lie. But we're not saying that what they said necessarily was a lie. And therefore you can split the psak. That's exactly Rava's Chiddush, this novel idea that you could say, Eid Zomeim Mikanu Lahabahu Nifsal. You're saying that we're going to treat you as a liar, but we are not saying with certainty that what you said was a lie. Because if we were saying it's a birur, then you would be nifsal milah mafreya. Yeah.
So the bigger kiddush is Rava, not Abaye.
In a certain sense.
Even though we know you're chazer treif, you're only going to be chazer treif now going forward. So we're not just going to say you have like a shame liar, and then everything you said beforehand is also bad.
Right. The opposite part is that the bigger chiddush is Abaye, is because logically you could say that's a greater chiddush to say that you're going to believe the second set rather than the first set. So it's a question of who's a greater chiddush in terms of, but the mashal, let's keep just with the mashal. So now, but the mashal is telling us that there's a difference between what we can call a hachra versus a birur. A hachra is just how you act, and a birur is establishing actual truth. Says the Shev Shmaitza, in not so many words, right there in the beginning, in Aleph Aleph, the Shmaitza says, that's exactly what Ruba Deleisa Kamon is. Ruba Deleisa Kamon is a vadai. When we see an animal, and we assume that it is kosher, because we say, Rov Behemos Ksheros, and they're not trefos, that says that we are going to not just act as if, but we are going to believe that there is a birur, 100% birur, that this animal is, it's a kosher animal. And therefore the Ramban says that min haTorah, you don't have to check. It's only if you have, as the Ramban says there, it's only if you have a miyat hamatzui, or a smoch miyat al chazaka. There's some other reason why you have to get involved. But bi'ikaron, when you have a ruba deleisa kamon, so then you're just going to follow the rov, because that is mavara the emes. Masha inkein ruba deisa kamon, I have one piece of meat. It came from 10 stores. 9 of them were kosher, and one of them is treif. So there, I'm not actually being mevara the emes. I'm not saying with 100% certainty I know that this came from one of the kosher stores. Because lemaisa, I can't deny that I'm looking at the reality that it came from. It's isa kamon, the number of stores, you can count them up. And therefore, it's not a vadai. Chazon Ish refers to this as what he calls a rov tiv'i. The Ruba de Leisa Kamon. Leisa Kamon, not Ruba de Isa Kamon. Ruba de Isa Kamon is only a Nihug. It's not Mavara the Emes. And since it's not Mavara the Emes, therefore you have to check if it's within your power. Because you have these 10 stores. You have 10 stores in front of you. You can count them. Rov Behemos Ksheros, that's Ruba de Leisa Kamon. That's a statistical rove that's not based on a limited subset of animals. That's based on our life experience, not a specific number of animals. You can't go out there and count the number of animals in one direction or the other for this case. This is just an assumption. Rov be'ilos acharabal. So we're not doing, it's not about a particular survey or a subset of women and husbands. You may come up with a Ruba de Isa Kamon type of suffix. But these are basic fundamental rov tivis, meaning they are working assumptions in society. Obviously, they're based on mathematics, but that mathematics is some kind of like overarching principle. It's not a specific set of subjects that you can count up from one to the next. Yes?
So when we do the check on Rov Nisa Kama, now we're saying we'd like to do your when possible. If we can't do it,
then great, go with the rove. Exactly. But you have to check, because you've got the numbers game and you haven't been mavarer. If we said that rove was a birur, so then why would you have to check? The rove told you that it's 100% emes. Yes?
Why is Ruba Deisa Kamon in the case of Matthew Shechemius not also an example of a statistical probability?
All roves are statistical probability. But it's that when you have Ruba Deisa Kamon, you have the actual numbers in front of you. You know how many stores this came from. There were 10 stores, 9 were kosher, 1 is treif.
So you have a 90% chance this is kosher.
That's correct.
So therefore, that actually meaning, so why are we not satisfied with that?
We are satisfied with that.
But that's
because it's only a hachra, it's only a niug, it's not a birur.
Even though the percentages of both of things are equal.
Correct. There's a conceptual difference between one and the other. Okay? So with this, one could address a... What's that? What's that? The difference between a... Yeah. So there is a Pnei Yeshua, there of Miller quoted, that answers a problem with the Rambam. The Rambam's shita is that Safik Daraisa L'chumra is only Midrabanan. He says that in a couple of places. Avasatuma, a few other places. This is a big machlok, because we've shown him Savik Darais L'chumra Midrabanan, or Savik Darais L'chumra Midrabanan. The Ramashita is that it's only Midrabanan. So the Pnei Yeshua in Kiddushan on Daf Ayin Gimel asks a question. He says, wait a second. We have a pasuk that Safik Mamzer is Mutar B'kohol. Mamzer Vada Hudalo Yavo. Safik Mamzer Yavo. So wait a second. The Rambam told me that Safek Daraisa is only L'chumra Midrabana, and that means that Min HaTorah, this Mamzer is Mutter. Why do I need a Pasuk? Why do I need a special drasha that says Safek Mamzer Yavo? What do you mean? We always know that Safek Daraisa is L'chumra, even, is L'kula, even Midaraisa. So he says, Luli de Mistafina Mirvasa, Hayanirli, de Labasa de Goli Kram Mamzer Vade Lo Yavo, Hasafik Yavo, Suleika Lachalek being Rov Ksher and Rov Psulin. Dafilahi Mikri Safik Mamzer. Dafal Gav de Bachalatora, Azlina Basaruba, Basa Hazaka Lamishve, Kivadai. Afilahi, Shiny Hachar, de Iker Yalfusa de Mamzer Safik Yavo, Lo Yalfina El Mishum Dumi, the Safik call, etc. Says the Pnei Yeshua, look, in general, Ruba Deleisa Kamon, so that's Betoris Vadai. So then you would not say Sufik Mamzer Lahakel if the majority of the people were Usser. I'm sorry. Let me start again. Generally speaking, Rov is a Vadai. The Chiddush, the reason why I need a Gzeres HaKasuv here is that since it is a Ruba De'isa Kaman, essentially, because you have, you know, whatever the circumstance of this Safek Mamzer is.
Is it Isa Kaman in this case?
The Safek Mamzer, yeah. You don't know which, you know, person the... So the Chiddush is that in this case, the Rov and the Miut is not a Vadai. Essentially, that is the Gzeres HaKasuv. The Gzeres HaKasuv is telling you that it's not a Vadai, it's still a Safek. Since it's a Rubid, in a certain sense, this is the Makar for the idea.
So it's possible to Safek Daraisa?
Exactly.
Even though typically we say it's Safek Daraisa.
Even though we say that, usually we say that Rove is a Vadai, but since in this case it's a Rubid Isa Kamon, it's not a Vadai, so you need a Pasuk to come and tell you that Safek Mamzer is Mutter. Yeah?
So the Rambam rule, assuming that this is true, is really only about Safek Deleisa Kama. Then we say Min HaTorah really should be Mako. By Ruba De'isa Kama, you should go L'chumra.
No, Afuch. If in a case where it's a Ruba De'isa Kama, so then it's a Vadai. When you have a rove. The Rambam was talking about a Safek HaShakol, generally. Right? Safek Daraisa, L'chumra, is talking about a Safek HaShakol. His Chiddush is to say, no, this is even true when you have a rove. That's the point of Pnei Yeshua. The point of Pnei Yeshua is to say, wait a second, that's true, Safek Daraisa, L'chumra, Midaraisa, that's when you have a Safek HaShakol. But what if you have a rove? You have rove of the probability of the women and the men in this circumstance are going to tell you that this guy is a mamzer. There's a miyah to say that he's not a mamzer. So what would you say? You would usually say, follow the rove. The Gzeres HaKasuv is to say, don't follow the rove. Why not? The answer is because it's a ruba de'isa kaman. And therefore you still say Safek mamzer. That is exactly the chiddush of the pasuk.
As soon as you say it's talking about a really, then the best in this doesn't have to do with the Rambam, the Chum.
Essentially, yes. That's why you need the pasuk.
From the fact that from it's only in Havre.
That's what it sounds like from his lashon. Exactly. The chiddush is to tell you that even though there's a rove, it's not a vadai. Why not? The answer is because it's a ruba de'isa kaman.
And so it comes back to the Shakel.
And therefore it's Safek HaShakol, and that's why the Rambam needed the pasuk. Ah, okay. Here's another nafkamina between ruba de'isa kaman and ruba de'isa kaman. It's not really a nafkamina because it only comes up in one case, and that's called the din of kavua. The din of kavua means when you have the latest hasafik, b'malkam hasafik, so you say that you treat it like 50-50. Meaning you can have nine stores
that are kosher and one store is treif, and
you go into the store and buy the meat. So since you went into the store and your suffix took place, the latest suffix was in the store, we say you're going to treat it as 50-50, suffix hashakol. So what's the logic?
The latest suffix needs to happen in the shrif store?
In the store, in any store. But since the suffix is about the stores and the latest suffix took place in the store, so therefore it's considered to be kavua. So what's the logic of this din? So there is a comment of the Chavistas. Let's see, it is... Where was it? Wrote it down, hold on. Kuf Yud Vav. Simen Kuf Yud Os Vav. Here we go. So, so he says the following. When do we apply kavua? Kol zman she'ein etzlo b'shas leides ha-safik o achakach iser v'heter yiduim b'mekomon lo have kavua. You have to have, to establish kavua, a leides ha-safik with an iser and a heter that were yodua b'mekomon. And therefore, he then quotes the Rashmi Kunin, debedover shalom nikar ha-iser lo mikri kavua. Any place where it's not nikar the iser, it's not called, if it's not nikar, it's not called kavua, and that's how he answers why you're always allowed to plant in a field. Maybe you should say that field was a nachal eson of egla arufa, and you're not allowed to plant there. The answer is, you don't say kol kavua kamechza mechza, because there's no nikar ha iser here.
So you're saying by the meat case, so when I find the meat,
no, it means like this. I walk up to a mall. There are 9 kosher stores and 1 treif store. That treif store is clearly selling treif meat. You see that it's treif meat. If I find a piece of meat in the parking lot, so the latest asafik is right now on this piece of meat, and we don't know which store it came from. So we say, called a parish, meruba parish. It came from, the majority, came from one of the kosher stores. But if somebody blindfolds me, or I go into a store and I'm on my cell phone, I'm not paying attention where I am, I just see some chopped meat, I buy it, then I come back to the parking lot, and I don't know for the life of me which store I went into. So in that case, the kosher meat and the non-kosher meat were clearly nikar. They were clearly identifiable b'mekoman. And now, I don't know which one I went into, so the latest asafik is about where I bought the meat.
What do you mean b'mekoman? I mean, nikar b'mekoman. They're always nikar b'mekoman.
He's trying to la'afuke the nachal eson, where you never... It's not. There's no nikar iser. You can't tell where there may have been a nachal eson. Well, what's underlying this logic of kavua?
Is this a question of nikar or a question of like hukva iser?
He's saying
there is an iser.
Nikar. No. It's nikar. It has to be clear. Why? Because what he's saying is the assumption here. And there's more about Arichas, it's not so posh that everybody agrees to this, but the idea is that the concept of kavua is you can't say bitol when the suffix is staring you in the face. You can't deny that the suffix is still there. There's an element, whether you call it because it's chashuv or because you're constantly dealing with it. When you look at the one piece of meat in the parking lot, so then you can decide based on the statistical rove, where it may have come from. But when I go into the store and I say, I don't know which store I went into. So now I have to think, well, maybe I went into that store and maybe I went into that store. So the suffix is actually taking place in the stores. The store's nikar, the gzeres hakasav says, the chiddush, it's a gzeres hakasav, says that since it's kavua, since the latest hasafik is b'makom hasafik, so you cannot ignore the miyot. But that only makes sense, just one second, that only makes sense because you're talking about aruba de'isa kaman. Aruba de'isa kaman is a niug. It's not a hachra that's mavar the suffix, it's a hachra of niug. And therefore, well, we're trying to tell you how to act. So you should act based on the statistics. The Gzeres HaKasav says, yeah, that's only true when you don't have something staring you in the face. As opposed to Aruba Delesa Kaman, where the miut, that statistical probability, that possibility, it's mavarer. It's totally the truth. Here, we haven't established with 100% certainty what the truth is. And the chiddush of the Gzeres HaKasav is, if you can push the suffix back to where the makom ha-suffix was, you have to be mitchashev bo. You can't ignore it. Yes?
So, I mean, I'm hearing you saying two different things. On one hand, you're asking, the chavis asks, what are the mechanics of why we apply kavua in one case, why we apply kavua in that kavua, you rely on
So let me clarify then before you continue. The whole concept of kavua only applies in Ruba de Isa Kaman. That's clear, right? That's what the Gemara says. It only applies when you have the numbers, like nine that Tzvardim, or nine people you threw it, one is Jewish, nine are not Jewish, etc. The Gemara Ksubas there. I'm just pointing out that logically, it makes sense that there is this concept of kavua in that context. Because if kavua is about saying that there is an element of chashivas to the iser, that there is an element of nikar to the iser that you cannot ignore, that's because in Ruba de'isa kaman, you're dealing with the iser and the heter. Whereas in the case of Ruba de'leisa kaman, you're not dealing with the iser. You don't have to try to investigate. There's no bedika, there's no birur, there's no efshar levarer. It's because we paskind that the vados is, as opposed to here, you're not saying what the vados is. So if you have something that you have to constantly evaluate based on the gzeres hakasav of kavua, so that's why there's no bittul. Now, does that help clarify it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's meaning basically because there's only meaning, now I understand what you mean by nikar iser, at least he's using the term, meaning that when it comes to the kaman, there's no hakara to the iser because we have to. Because of whatever rov tevi or whatever times you want to use, this thing is mutter based off of the rov. But when it comes to rubelisa kaman, so I'm encountering this sort of dual option of isfer hetter, kind of like a Schrodinger's cat type of thing. You get it? But of and therefore now I have to come back to the side. But Kavua says, okay, Kavua says
you can't ignore it.
This option, and it's usher.
Well, it's just saying that the two are equal. The right. Chiddush is that they're equal.
And usually we're going to be equal.
Well, it's called Kavua kemechza mechza, and then. Whatever. But that's exactly the point. And that stems from the fact that it's not a biur, it's just a hachra. Yeah, Josh.
You explain why it makes sense not to have kavua in later kaman.
Because there's no such thing. Obviously,
it doesn't exist.
Exactly, it can't exist. But I'm pointing out that logically, the reason why in Ruba de'isa kaman kavua is there is because exactly what Eli said. You have never gotten rid of the possibility that tzad of the iser. You never wrote that off. It's always there. At the Ahram Lahato says, Ruben Isa, come on, follow the rove. Yeah, but if the Ahram Lahato is stymied by the kavua, so then you're going to have to come face to face with the iser. As opposed to Ruben Delesa, come on, you're a mavarer. This is, and that's the end.
Yeah, sorry. You might send the parking
lot. Yes.
I don't think it's landed. It's also outside the shop, right?
Yeah, that's why it's not kavua. Parking lot is called a parish miruba parish.
It's all outside. It's just not inside the shop.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it's in a parking lot, that's a ruba de isa kaman.
No, it's ruba de isa kaman because it came from one of the
right.
stores.
Right.
That's ruba de isa kaman. Exactly.
But it's not kavua because it's parish.
Exactly.
Yeah. Meaning, so like a ruba de isa kaman is that before you can encounter the item. its status has already been determined based off of Rove. Hashem came by Ruba the Issa Kaman, your very encountering of the item, actually, its status has not been determined yet by the preconceived Rove.
Great. So that is a very important point, which Rav Shechter discusses in his Chabura, has to do with the concept of Bittul taking place Dafka La'achar Leita Sasafik. So that's an important Ta'ara. The idea that Aruba Delesa Kaman has nothing to do with your particular circumstance is exactly that idea, because it's Nikba not based on your particular circumstance. Now, that's not 100% true, because let's say if you live in a particular area, so then the Ruba Delesa Kaman of that area is different. But it's not about you and where you may have gone.
It's not about the observer.
It's okay. So now that's all I wanted to say about Ruba de Issa Kaman, Ruba de Leisa Kaman, the concept of Halech Acharov. That there is one concept, Halech Acharov. There are two permutations of that. There's Ruba de Leisa Kaman and Ruba de Issa Kaman. Ruba de Leisa Kaman is a birur, according to Moshe Achronim, and Ruba de Issa Kaman is a hanhaga. Ad kan hakaf aleph. Now, we'll talk about Rov Betaruvis. Rov Betaruvis means you have a mixture, and within that mixture, you have some heter and some iser. And so this is totally different than everything we've been talking about until now, because until now we've been dealing with one item. Here we're talking about a composite. You've got a soup, and inside the soup you have treif ingredients and kosher ingredients.
Well, why can't that be later, huh? Meaning we don't know what's in front of us. We don't know how much is there. We're not sure how much fell in.
How is that Leisa Kaman? Leisa Kaman is you have one item, you don't know the identity of that, and you established it based on the general norms. As opposed to, in this case, you have a mixture. You know you have heter in here, and you know you have iser.
You could have a case of Leisa Kaman of Torah if you had five pieces of meat on the table, one of them you knew was iser, and now there's one missing, and it fell in.
So that probably won't be Leisa Kaman, that'll probably be Issa Kaman, that'll probably be called a Parish Miruba Parish. So when we're going to talk about Taruvas of Yavish B'Yavish, we're going to start thinking about if you take one out, then you're a Parish. Yeah?
Theoretically, if I have many, many, many items, but I know that there is one source, so now it's inherently not, it's not a Taruvas question. It's again back to row of either Leisa or Issa Kaman.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
Meaning that I could have one piece of meat, right, that was separated off, and now I'm wondering whether or not it's Usser or Mutter, right? Or I could have 15 pieces of meat all in the same exact wrapping, right, which must have come from one store, and then for each of them, I'm not thinking that, oh, maybe here is mixed kosher or non-kosher meat. I'm thinking they all come from one source, and so I'm making one unified decision about their nature, either it's going to get into the hanhaga or birur situation.
I'm not understanding.
Okay. I'm willing to let it go.
Anybody else get it?
Meaning in Taruvus, you know you have two different things in front of you. Right,
as opposed
to one item.
Correct.
Right, so I'm saying there's theoretically, if I have, let's say, 1,000 items that all have one source and they're identical in that sense, they should be treated as one item conceptually, even though there are many, many of them.
Right, that's like saying you have 10 gallons of oil. You know, you don't look at each gallon, you just look at the oil that you have.
Right. I'm talking about something like separate. Like, I have 10 humans, I know they all have female mothers.
I don't get it. If you're saying you have 10 pieces of steak,
he's saying you come to the shop and you've got...
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I'm not sure where you're going with it, but...
I'm just trying to clarify that it doesn't have to be about one item. It could be about any group of items that I could put together confidently. Meaning, 10 gallons of oil, right, we put together, but okay, it's in one bowl. Now, if I found 10 separate gallons of oil, I would still have that exact case, and not a Taruva's case, because I know they all have one source.
It depends on the latest Sasafik. Yeah, but I'm not sure how that... Okay.
I'm just trying to get the parameters.
You could have three salamis in three different places in the world, and there would be bitaruvas with each other. That's possible.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So now, rov bitaruvas. Now, when we talk about rov bitaruvas, so you have both mixed together, and the miut becomes nisbatel to the rov. So how does that mechanism work? So we have a fundamental machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashba. The Rosh says that the miut, the minority of Isser, is nefach lios heter, and therefore it's mutter to eat all of them in one shot. Whereas according to the Rashba, the Isser is not nefach lios heter, it's just that each bite that you take, we determine based on the rove, we say, oh, azlinan basar rove. One second. Here we go. Yavish b'yavish, this is in Yoredeya. I put the Rosh and Chulin and the Torah Sabayis Aruch on the Maramachomos. This is in Chul in Yoredeya Simon Kuftes. Yavish b'yavish in his batal chad betray. In Bishlon Kulan ke'echad afil lechol kol echad b'fnei atzmo aser. Im ein sham shishim b'nesha rotu v'nos in tam v'nivla b'chatichos. V'im rotu l'vashlon yachad v'ein sham shishim mutu l'habas alem k'dei shio l'vashlon v'ein misham b'tol mevatal iser. Ramah. V'yesh omrim. Dim no da taruvis kodim shin his bashal b'yachad. Hakol shori de'in chos v'nesar me'achad shin his batal b'yavish. Meaning, ubamakam efsi yishmoch advarav hamikilim lahatir. Truth is,
what's the rashi shita?
Actually, that's just the first. Let's go back to halacha aleph. Chaticha shein really iskavich and sar b'achiris min b'mina yavish b'yavish. So chad betray botam umutol la'ochlan adam echad kol echad b'fnei atzma. Avalo yochal shloshem yachad. The Shulchan Aruch follows the Rashba. V'yesh misha oser la'ochlam adam echad afilu ze achar ze. You can't eat all of them. So according to Shulchan Aruch says, you can't eat them together, but you can eat them one at a time. Yesh misha oser to eat them even ze achar ze. However, the Rosh says that you can eat them all together. Why? Because Isser nepach lios heter. Leaving aside mimish ein amino.
If it's, let's say, a derisa kifre, and we get to just two items left, so the Rashba should tell me that I should be machmir and not eat either one now.
No, because you had your latest asafik previously, so you can include in your cheshbon the one that you already ate. You can say, oh,
I ate it already.
But that being the case, I'm not really reevaluating it every time. How's the math going to change? I'm not evaluating each piece.
Hasafig, that one time. The Lashon of the Rush, Perek Zion, Lamed Zion. Zion, Lamed Zion. V'yeroy shemutu la'ochlon ka'achas. You can eat them all together. So, what that's saying is that that even the minority takes on the entity, the shame of the majority. However, that's only true in a certain sense in one direction. If you look in the Shilas and Tshuvas Oneg Yontif, and this is in Orachayim. Can I printed it out here? Orachayim Simen Dalid. He says that this is only true to be mevatel the status of an Isser. But he says if you have, let's say, 10 matzos, and 9 of those matzos are baked lishman, and one of those matzos is not baked lishman, you don't say that, well, since they're all nisarev together, since there's a taruvus of them, we're going to follow the rove, and even the minority is upgraded to the status of lishma. There's a similar hesber which is given in the Or Sameach. I'll put that on the Mar Makomos also. You don't upgrade the minority. You only are mevatel. You nullify the minority in the case where it is an iser. So you went. This is in the Oneg Yantif and Simon Dalad. So he says, nafgamina would be if you have chutin shlo nitvu l'shem tzitzis, b'chutin shenitvu l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, in mutar lahatilon b'beged dalad kanfos or not. And he says, even though there is in general a concept of bittul, bittul can only be mevatel, but it can't create. Even according to the Rush, like matzah that wasn't made lishma, you can't upgrade it. So bittul only works to nullify the iser, but it doesn't upgrade you, it doesn't transform it. Now, if you were to then resort back to the halecha harov, let's say you have a bunch of matzos that are mixed together, and then you pulled out somehow one of the ten matzos got pulled out, then you're not talking about rov b'taruvus anymore. There you're talking about halecha harov. And then you would say halecha harov, you would assume that the matzah is a matzah shmura. It's when you need to do bittul barov, when you have rov b'taruvus, then even though, according to the Rosh, iser nepach Leo's heter, it's transformed, that's only in the direction of bittul ha'iser, not in terms of creating the heter. Yes?
And that's also in the only good understanding of the Rush, meaning that it seems like he's saying that even though the Rush uses the lashon nepach, it's not really nepach, it just allows us to ignore the existence of the iser in our calculation. But you could have, meaning, I'm pretty sure there are some of them who say that no, the Rush really thinks that this piece now actually, meaning it like metaphysically, halachically
right.
becomes.
Right. So now let's go back to understand the Rush and the Rashba. So the Rush and the Rashba, the Rush says the Isser is Nepach Lioset, whereas according to the Rashba, this is what Yitzi was getting to before, the Rashba says, I have three salamis, two of them are Heter, one of them is Isser. So I eat one of them because I pick it up and I say, oh, this one is for sure Heter because Chad betrays bottle, then I eat it. I have two salamis left, I pick it up, and I say, well, this one's probably heter, because I probably either ate the iser one, or it's still sitting on the table, and then I can eat the last one. According to that, the third day, the other day in the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't eat all of them, because l'mafreya is nizgala. So that would be alternative to the Rashba, and according to the Rush. So now, here comes the question. I can understand all of this until now when we're talking about a taruvus of what we call yavish biyavish. Yavish biyavish means you have independent items and just you don't know which is which. That's different than a taruvus of lach balach. Taruvus of lach balach is where the entire mixture becomes one integrated entity and the two previous substances have lost their independent status. You make Thousand Island dressing. I think you start with ketchup and mayonnaise. You mix them together. It's not that you have a taruvus of ketchup and mayonnaise of yavish biyavish. That would be if you have three glasses, and in each glass is either ketchup or mayonnaise, and the mayonnaise is colored red. You can't see which one it is, or for whatever reason you can't distinguish them. That's yavish biyavish. They're each independent. They're not mixed together to blend into one new entity. Lach balach is it blends together to make one new entity. So here's the problem. I understand, according to the Rush, that you can say bittul in a case of lach balach, because I'm drinking the soup, I know it has trey food in it, that's no problem. Just like I ate all three salamis, and I ate them together because we said bittul barov, so I could drink the soup. But how, according to the Rashba, if the Rashba says that you can't eat all the salamis together because you don't say iser nepach lios heter, how can you drink the soup if you know that there's iser in the soup? So here you have...
Your guess is on the Rashba.
Correct. According to the Rush, I understand.
Even if it's lach balach?
Yeah, because the Rush says iser nepach lios heter. You know that you could, what do you call it? You could say chemically, you know that what you're eating is iser.
What's the mechanism that the Rush was using? It's not. You said the Rush is bittul benepach?
The Rush was saying bittul barov, but his bittul barov says that al pidin, we treat this as It's almost like a kol deparish meruba parish mechanism. It's when you take one of the yavesh items, and this is the way that Rav Zalman Nechemia kind of formulates in his essay as well, I think. When you take each one of these salamis that got confused, so it's almost like kol deparish meruba parish. So we say all of them are kosher. Bittul Barov says all the salamis are kosher, all three of them, based on the logical principle of the Halecha Chararov. Make sense? I have three salamis.
Yeah.
I have three salamis. And someone took off the wrapping. So one of them is treif, the other two are kosher. And they get mixed up. I don't know which is which. So the Rashba says, you can't take all the salamis and eat them together because you know you're eating Isser. But you know what you could do? You could take one salami and eat it and say, Halecha Chararov.
Yeah,
you're kicking back from Rov B'Taruvis, predicated on the logic of Halecha Charov.
Why can't you eat all three?
What's that?
Why can't you eat all three?
You can't eat all three. I think according to the Rashba, you can eat all three. Right. According to the minority opinion, that the third opinion, then you can't even eat all three.
Is it because he thinks there's no transformative Rov, or he thinks that the Isser's still present?
That's for sure true, yes. So, coming back to Meir Simcha's point. So, according to the Rush, it's not you eat all three because you say Halecha Chararov on each one that you pick up. It's because the Isser, through the Bittul, the mechanism Bittul Barov, transformed into Heter.
Right, okay, fine.
But according to the Rashba, that you never transform the Isser into the Heter, the only reason you're allowed to eat the salamis is because each one of them, you could say, oh, this we know, based on Bittul Barov, is Halecha Chararov, it's definitely not treif. But if I take treif chicken soup and pour it into kosher chicken soup, and mix it all around, I know I'm eating treif. The Rashba, how can he allow you to drink that chicken soup?
In every single spoonful,
you're never going to get away from it. So the answer is that there is a fundamental difference between the bittul of a taruvis of yavish biyavish and the bittul of a taruvis of lach balach. And this comes from a Rambam in Hilchos Avos HaTuma in Shar Shar Avos HaTuma Perek Aleph Halacha Yitzayin. The Rambam says Nevelosh in his Arva Aleph Yitzayin Nevelosh in his Arva B'Shchuta Im Rov Min HaShchuta Batla HaNevela B'Shchuta Ve'en HaKol Metame B'Maga Avalim Nasa Hakol Nitma. She Efsha Lishchuta Shetachzor Nevela. Aval Nevela Efsha Shetitoyer Kishetisrach Lefikach Tevatel. If you have Nevela and Shchuta, two pieces, three pieces, five pieces of meat, and the rov is of the Shchuta, then nothing is Metami Bamaga because you say Bittul Barov, and Bittul Barov even works on Tumah. But if you were no say, if you carry it all, then the Rambam says, well, if you carried it, then since you know that there's nevela in there, and nevela is metame masa, it's metame. Who does that sound like? Sounds like the Rashba. Because when you are dealing with maga, you're dealing with them separately. You touch one, then you touch the next, then you touch the next, you touch the next. But as opposed to masa, you're carrying them all at once, and you don't say that the minority is transformed. Yes?
So maybe I don't learn from Tumah to Isser.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to Rov, the Mishnayos say it's across the board. So the Kesef Mishnah here quotes from Amari Kurkus. We don't have the commentary of the Amari Kurkus here on the bottom. Who asks Akasha, he says, I don't get it. In the case of Negia, it's because each one is alone. But if you carry them all, it's as if they were together. So then, the Kesef Mishnah adds to the observation of Mari Kurkus, but look at the previous halacha. Behema sheshafa chararas dam afapish niftra min abachora in mitam lo b'maga v'lo b'masa ad sheyeh b'tzuras nefel. Wait a second. Why did you say on a chararas dam? Why did you say also tumas maga? I'm sorry, a chunk of blood that came out of this animal. Ain't a matama loba maga loba masa until it has tsuras nefel. Lefishe butla barov hayotze ima. The Rambam says that this whatever animal, the form of the animal that was miscarried, it's batel berov and all of the other liquid that came out. So wait a second, why are you telling me, ask the Kesef Mishnah, in Halacha Tezayin, that it's batel berov and there's no Tumas Masa, whereas in Yudzayin, you told me there is Tumas Masa when you carry them all together. So that, says the Kesef Mishnah, is the difference. The difference is between Yavish B'Yavish and Lach B'Lach. When you have a taruvus of lach balach, everything becomes one new entity. Says the Kesef Mishnah that kinesarva hacharar bedam v'gininim v'nimches bem haviakol kemo hadam v'gininim v'ein kan o dover shiyatame. It disappears. Yavish b'yavish, you always have the identity of the item. You have salami 1, salami 2, and salami 3. The Rosh says, no problem, each one of them becomes salami kosher. The Rashba says, that's not true. You have salami 1, salami 2, and salami 3. You happen to say each time you pick up salami 1, and then 2, and then 3, that you're following the rove of called the parish Meruba Parish, and you're allowed to eat it, but they do have their same status as independent salamis, and one of them was at some point, and still is somewhere, is still treif. But when you take chicken soup that's treif and pour it into chicken soup that's kosher, in that case, even the Rashba agrees that you can eat it all. Why? Because it's not chicken soup 1 and chicken soup 2. It's just chicken soup. There is no identity of the item that was treif. It's nisbatel legamri. It's gone.
Unless it gives it like top.
That's not batel. That's not batel. We're talking about min b'mino. Next week we'll talk more about min b'mino, min b'shein amino. So I just want to make sure everybody got this. We had a machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashba about yavesh b'yavesh, whether or not the minority is transformed. And then we asked, if according to the Rashba that the minority is not transformed, how could he eat lach b'lach? The answer is, when it's lach balach, there is no more minority. There's nothing to transform. It just doesn't exist any longer. All you have is the rove. And therefore, the entire thing is mutter to eat. Yes?
I remember, I did this a couple years ago, I asked Shachter to explain Rabbi Yehuda, because Yehuda says he might be Yehuda's a problem, because he said, right, you could say the same exact opposite. Is that instead of viewing it as the heter now diffusing and all becoming heter, Yehuda's problem is that, to say the opposite, the iser diffused the entire thing, meaning the whole notion of diffusion can go in either direction.
That's correct. The chiddush of rov is that you follow the rov.
Right. That becomes the heter is the diffusing property as opposed to the iser.
Is it about diffusion or about assuming this is a new item? Meaning it's a new item, rove came from a...
It's because they all got mixed up and lost its identity. That's why you introduced it as a new item. Yes?
I'm not sure if this is John Jones. You explained Yavesh, Lach Balach.
Yes.
Does this have any... this answer in the Rashba? What about Yavesh Balach or Lach Yavesh? The Tipav, Chazir falls in onto a Chaticha of cow, kosher cow.
So that's going to be min b'she'eno mino, and that's going to be for this purpose that the lach it's gone. You can't see it anymore. It's diffused.
So whenever there's lach, even if the other component is yavesh, the same rule applies.
Meaning
lach b'lach equals lach b'yavesh for this question also. They're equal. This question. Rashba would have the same answer because it's not
miyat. If the miyat is not, doesn't exist anymore.
It's not
miyat. And this principle distinguishing between lach balach and yavish biyavish is what Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, Zichron Levracha, in the Shalos and Tshuvas Be'er Yitzchak, which I put in the Maamar Makomos in Siman Yud, uses to answer a question on the Ran about when do you say different kinds of davar sheish l'matirin and bitol. The Ran has a difference of opinion with Rashi. what's the mechanism for davar sheish lamatir and why is it not batal? So Rashi says it's because ad she tochlena beisr tochlena beheter, and the Ran says it's because you need a contrast. Heter beheter, you know, min b'mino, that's not batal. You have to have a contrast of heter beisr. And yet, so the Ber Yitzchak quotes a machronim who have problems with this Ran. So his answer is that in Achanami, the Ran agrees to Shitas Rashi, that ad she tochlena beisr tochlena beheter, but he says that only makes sense when you have a taruvus of yavish biyavish. But when you have a taruvus of lach balach, there's nothing, there's no ad she tochlena new. What's new? It's gone. You had treif chicken soup, so maybe it was davar sheish lamatirin, but it got mixed in the bigger soup. So it's not. It doesn't have an identity to say ad she tochlena new. What's new? So he says that's the chiddush of the Ran. In that case, the Ran comes along and says there's still no bittul, not because it has its independent identity and it's ad she tochlena beis or tochlena beheter. It's because when you have two items that are both heter, there's not enough contrast. So then you don't apply the din of bittul. So that's another nafkamina between yavish biyavish and lach balach. The first one was.
By
that's what he says, exactly. He says the Ran is moder when it's lach balach. Okay, and then the one last point that I would make is this comment of Rav Chaim Halevi Soloveitchik. It's quoted here, it's in the Chidush HaGrach al HaChodesh al HaShas. Here it's in this page Shin Lamed in Simon Bedin Ein Holchin B'Mamorach HaRarov, and that's one last case, which is the idea of Arubo Kakulo, which is different than all of these. That's what he says, exactly. He says the Ran, the Chiddush is that the Ran is molded to Rashi. I'm sorry, it's only lach balach. The Ran is molded to Rashi in Yavish B'Yavish. I don't know if I said yes when you
said wrong.
Sorry.
Where is the graph on the Shas?
It's on page Shin Lamed in this edition. It's in Simon Bedin Ein Hochen B'Mamanach HaRov. So he quotes the Tosfos in Baba Kama Daf Chav Zayin, who says that even though the Gemara says Ein Holchan Mamon Achar Rov, we could still pask in Dine Momonos with a Rov of Dayanim. So Reb Chaim asks, so the Tosis asks, how can you do that? It's Ein Holchan Mamon Achar Rov. So his answer is the Shiny Ruba de Dayanim de Chashiva Miut Kaman Didu Kamisha Eino. So Reb Chaim explains, he says, look, there are two kinds of Rovs. There's a rov that's mavar and machriya asafig. And then there's another kind of rov, which is similar to bittul barov, the kind of rov that we're talking about now, where you're not being machriya or being mavarer. You know what's in there. You know you have 60% kosher and 40% treif in this chicken soup pot. It's lach balach. Or you know how many dayanim are there. Or you know how much of the kana and the veshet you shechted. And there, nonetheless, the Torah is machadesh that you follow the rov. And then he goes on to explain how, when it comes to dayanim, even though the dayanim, Tosa says, are kaman delesa, they're outvoted, but they're still part of the tzura of the bezdin, and therefore you don't have to worry about Yosifu. But this point, Reb Chaim, is along similar lines, that when we talk about a taruvus of lach balach and we talk about a Sanhedrin, it's not that there is some confusion that we need to be machriya or we need to be mavarer. There's a gzeres hakasav that you follow the majority when you have a mixture, as opposed to yavish biyavish, which according to the Rush and even according to the Rush is more predicated on azlina basaruba when you eat one at a time. According to the Rush, it's iser nepach leosetzer. It's more than that. But when we're talking about a taruvus of lach balach, where you're paskening on the entire entity, that's similar, he says, to a Sanhedrin that paskens. Because the Sanhedrin is giving you one uniform psak, and that follows the majority. It's just like, obviously it's a strange comparison, but that's conceptually, it's the same. Just like shchita of rov simonim. You know that you shechted only 60%, but that's enough. Rubo is kakulo in that respect. So to summarize, we introduced two different concepts, Halech Acharov and Rov Bataruvis. Halech Acharov, we broke down between Ruba de Issa Kamon, which is a Hanhaga and Ruba de Leisa Kamon, which is a birur, and that's why Ramban says that in Ruba de Isa Kamon you have to check, Ruba de Leisa Kamon you don't have to check. That's why Kavua only makes sense in the context of a Ruba de Isa Kamon. And then on the other hand, we had Rov Betaruvis, where the miut is nizbatel in the Rov. So what does that mean? So we have the Machlokas, the Rosh, who says it's totally transformed, versus the Rashba, who says that it's not transformed, it's based on Halecha HaRov. So we pointed out, that's only true in the context of Yavish B'Yavish. But in the context of Lach B'Lach, you have a different kind of Taruvis. You haven't actually followed Halecha HaRov. You actually have transformed it, because the Miut, there is no identity of the Miut. So there, even the Rashba will agree that you're allowed to eat the whole thing. And that was how we explained the same concept in that Shita Sarambam, distinguishing between the Charoras Dam that got mixed up with the other blood and the mucus versus the pieces of Nevela that are held together B'Tumas Masa. And then finally, this idea of distinguishing between Rov B'Taruvis in Lach B'Lach, where it's an actual Psak, rather than trying to, you know, be mavar or something, either by a hachra or by a birur, is exactly what Rav Chaim is saying. That's what happens when you have the psak of a bezdin, that you're following just the psak of what the status of this bezdin's ruling is, just like what you're defining the chicken soup in the taruvis of lach balach. So that is our